I want you to give this man part of our body. I'm sure he'll share. He just finished a book, another book, that goes, but you have to punch it in Thursday, don't you, to get it sent off. Been back and forth for quite a few months writing it. He's been a blessing in our lives here. And for the time and grade he's got, this man is a speaker. So let's give him a warm grace welcome.
Thank you, Pastor. There we go. Let's give Jesus praise. Come on, church. Please be seated. It is so good to be back with family in the flesh. It's just been a couple years, right? Anything major happen in the world since I've been gone? Nothing. A little bit of craziness, right? And we could waste a whole lot of breath on talking all of that. And some of us, I think we probably have. But we've got good news to get to this morning, so I'm not going to waste much time on that. But I will give you some updates since you all are family. And I appreciate you all supporting what this ministry does. And so thank you all for that. But about a year ago now, I think it's been almost exactly a year, I moved from Pensacola, Florida, down to Orlando, Florida. And so there's just a lot happening in the Christian community down there, and there's just a lot of opportunity for networking and ministry opportunities. So professionally, it's great for me, but personally, it's also great because Pensacola was just too cold for me. Too many days in the winter below 65 or so, and let me tell you, homie, don't play that game. No. And there's lots of roller coasters, anyone that you ever want, so that's real fun for me too. So I'm just, what would we say here in this area? I'm just in hog heaven down there in mouse territory. So it's been good. But since I moved there, I also, as Pastor said, had the opportunity to write my third book. So a publisher reached out to me and said, would you be interested in writing the official Shut Up Devil book? So you might have a picture on the screen there of it. There it is. So it's all about silencing the 10 lies behind every battle that you face. And they gave me 6 months to write that book, just finished writing it in late June, and then it goes through a couple month editing process. Thankfully, that wasn't so bad. People told me, oh man, it could be significant edits, but really very few. So on Thursday, as Pastor said, I submit my okay on all of the edits, and then it goes into the layout phase and everything. And book writing process is a rewarding process, but it's also, as you can imagine, when you're writing 200 pages or more, it's also an all-consuming process. And authors will talk about how they will be so zoned in on writing their book, always thinking about new illustrations and examples and ways to say things better, that they'll leave faucets running and they'll leave cabinet doors open, and I don't do anything like that. I just leave my car running. That's all I do. A month ago or so, I was having a two-hour dinner, and I came outside, and my headlights were on, and my car was on, and at least, you know, praise God, the air conditioning kept everything cool, even though it got the gas down a little bit. So that's all I do, but I am ready to get this thing out of my hands and into yours. So April 12th, probably the next time that I'm back up this way, I should have the Shut Up Devil book in hand for you all. So that's a little bit about what's happened in my world in the last year or so. But let's get on with the small talk and into the message, shall we? We'll pray and get started. Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here with family and friends here at Grace Church. And as we look at your design for us today, God, I pray that this would be a transformational message, Father, that this would be a healing message and a freeing message for so many. We are expectant of what you will do through your word that comes forth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to ask you all to be just a little bit bold here when I can get my device going. There we are. How many, by a show of hands, would say that you feel like you don't quite fit a mold? Like you feel a little bit like an outsider sometimes. Who can admit that? A little bit of a round peg trying to get, or a square peg trying to get into a round hole. Yeah. Most of us in here, if you were to look around, oftentimes we think that we are the only ones that don't fit in, and we get all insecure about that. When the truth is that most of us feel that way. You want to know why? Because there is no mold. Because you were designed to be different. Now, some of you might be looking at me like, what are you talking about? Well, let's look at Psalm 129 here, or 139. This is a favorite psalm of a lot of people. It's David, and he's praising the all-knowingness, the omniscience of God. And he starts out in verse 1 here. He says, O Lord, you've examined my heart. You know everything about me. You know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know my thoughts before I think them. He goes on, you know my words before I say them. He takes up like 12 verses there about how God knows things about him that he doesn't even know about himself. And then he goes on in verse 13. He says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Now, some people, they'll hear a message like this, and I'm not talking about anybody in here. I'm talking about real religious, stuffy people. Nobody in here, right? Some people, they'll hear a message like this, and they'll say, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really say anywhere that God made people unique for a unique plan. That's a modern message. Well, okay, maybe it doesn't use those exact words, you legalistic thing, but you definitely can get the message out of the entirety of Scripture here. You know, knit together is not talking about some assembly line process of pumping out duplicate after duplicate after duplicate after duplicate. David was not the only one in human history that God foreknew or knit together. It's talking about a very intricate and thoughtful process of God taking thread upon thread and weaving together all of these variables so that two people could not ever be the same. That sounds pretty unique to me. But then David goes on, even more mind-blowing to me. He says, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. So if you can even get this, I can't totally. Don't ask me to explain the theology of all this. This is part of the mystery of Scripture. But what it says is that God knew you before you were ever born. He laid out this plan for your life. Saw all of you before you were ever born. You know, sometimes I think that we think that God kind of has just found us in some sorry state and now he's trying to figure out if he can use us and what he's going to use us for. When this says that God had a plan and then he knit together all of these parts for you to fit the plan, this says that God had a plan before he made the man or the woman. And let me just minister this to you just for a minute here, because I think that some of you have probably lived your whole life believing that you are nothing but an oops or an accident. Some of you in here are watching, you have just believed that you are the product of your parents' mistake or some unfortunate thing that happened to you, and the enemy has used all of that to make you believe that your life is less significant or less valuable. But what this verse is saying is that you are in God's mind before you were ever in anybody else's mind. I mean, you are here, right? You are here because God wanted you here. There are no oops or no accidents as far as people are concerned. Sure, you may have come into this world in a less than perfect way, but God doesn't need perfect. And you might just need to reframe how you think and how you talk about your life and just say that God wanted me here so badly that he used an ordinary circumstance to do it. I mean, God, you didn't even come from your parents. You came through your parents. You came from the mind and the heart and the plan of God, and he just needed a vessel to bring it all to life. That's why how you began does not have to affect your plan. And some of you really need to say hallelujah to that because that's a good word for you. But when we talk about the parts of us that God knitted together, those who study human identity, they're discovering what the Bible has said all along, what David said so many years ago. You know, that's how science is. It's always slowly catching up to what Scripture has said all along. And they're finding that, guess what? We are complex, made of all kinds of different parts that get complicated sometimes. But there are four big ones. Some of them, I think, are pretty obvious to most of us, our physical features, right? We look around, we all look a little bit different. I mean, we have different skin colors, different hair colors, eye colors, shapes and sizes of our features. Some of us, you know, different weights, different heights. Some of you are blessed to be tall, and others of you are like me, and you're blessed to be the last to know when it rains. Definitely our personalities are different. We've got extroverts and we've got introverts, and none of us are really purely either of those. It's a spectrum. We all land a little bit different on that spectrum. Our intellect is the same way, not just how we take in information, our capacity to do that, and I've met every end of that spectrum of people, but what we do with that information. Are you more creative? Are you more structured? Are you more logical? Are you more abstract? Different. Our interests, our passions, how we see things, all different. I mean, you can open up your favorite social app right now and you'll see that in just a matter of seconds these days, right? I mean, I'm amazed by how some of you just love to do things that would bore me to tears. I mean, I look at you greeters at the front of a church and I think, I praise God for you because I couldn't do something like that. I mean, you people who are in the children's ministry, I tried that for about a month in college and that was not for me. But I praise God it is for some of you. I can't for the life of me understand how probably most of you in here like coffee. And I just wrote myself out of the faith in some of your minds for saying that, didn't I? I mean, the few times that I have tried it, and I try to make it only a few times, I end up praising God for his promise that you can drink anything deadly and it will not harm you. Seems like everywhere I go, people are trying to convert me. I was just in New Jersey last week and went out to dinner with the team at the church there, and everybody said they wanted a cup of coffee, and I clearly told the waitress I didn't, and she brought me one anyway. And some of my friends, they own a coffee shop and they have tried to spike my brownies with espresso beans. And I'm telling you, to me, that stuff would gag the dog. But to a lot of you, you just can't get by without it. But different, you get the point. And those are just four big areas. We could talk about all kinds of other things that I think God has this great big box of just uniqueness that he looks at you and he says, okay, this is my plan for that person's life. They're going to need a little bit of this and they're going to need a little bit of this and then a little bit of this so that no two people could ever be the same. So that he has created us in a way so that each of us are like a unique imprint or a unique fingerprint meant to make a unique imprint. Different. Now, I'm not saying, hear me so you don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that everything about you is just God's gift to this earth. I'm not saying everything about you is God's design. I understand that we live in a fallen, a broken world where there are many experiences and many things that we deal with that aren't the way that they're supposed to be. I understand that things happen to us that God didn't intend. I mean, we're copies of copies of copies of copies of copies. Sometimes we come together in ways that God would have not preferred in his perfect will. We make mistakes that God would have rather us not do. Our environment shapes us in certain ways that affects us in things God didn't design. But here's the thing. Regardless of how you're broken, regardless of what you struggle with, regardless of how you feel, whatever, God is not surprised. You know, that verse that we looked at here, Psalm 139, says that God knew you. God knew you before you were ever born. And you know what that means? That means that God knew all the good, the bad, and the ugly of your life. All of it laid out together. All of your cards laid out together before you were ever formed. And he saw it all. And he didn't say, oh man, this one's going to be a mess. I got to scrap the plan and start over. I mean, it's unfathomable to me. How God saw all of the mess that we would even make in our life, but he still brought us into existence. Why would he do that? Because in his plan for you, get this will set you free if you really get this. In God's plan for you, he has accounted for all of the complexities and complications that make you you. Because in God's plan for you, he made a way to redeem and repurpose even the things that he didn't mean for you. God made a way to take the dirty and make it clean. He made a way to take the wrong and make it right, to take the broken and fix it. He made a way to take the ugly and make it beautiful. And you know what that's called? That's called Jesus. That's called the plan of salvation. And the Bible says that anybody who believes in Christ. And when I say that, anybody who says yes to Jesus, that means anybody that says, yes, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you did what you said you did. You died and you rose again in order to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and put me at peace with you. The Bible says that anybody who has said yes to that, they are a new person. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says anyone who is in Christ, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. Now, just heads up for those of you who have never said yes to Jesus, if there's anybody in here, you just take all of what I'm going to say throughout this message in. Because at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus and to leave here being that new person that the Bible says that you can be. But right now, I'm talking to you believers, you born-again believers. The moment that you did this, you were re-gened. I like to say you got designer genes. You got righteousness despite yourself. I mean, that's big enough. You got the identity of Christ. I mean, that's what this is talking about. And I make a lot of that throughout the ministry that God's given me. A big thrust of this ministry is about your identity in Christ. I mean, I'm even wearing a t-shirt that says my identity is in Christ. So I could talk a whole lot about what all that means. But you got the qualities of Jesus. Like I said, his righteousness. You got fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, self-control. Yours. You got gifts that the Bible says God dispersed out different gifts to different people so that even all of that is this big bundle of uniqueness that you got so that none of us are the same. In Christ, none of us are the same. But I think that for some reason, it's kind of been perpetuated in the body of Christ that the moment that you say yes to Jesus, suddenly you got to talk the same and look the same and sing the same and think exactly the same as everybody else that's a Christian. And it's, you just got to walk this same line. And if there's any differences, if you deviate any from the evangelical look or way of thinking, then you just don't fit. Then you're just not a real Christian. And sometimes I think that's a lot of the battle that we face. Sometimes I think that's a lot of the spiritual warfare that a lot of us face because we think that we're fighting the enemy over all this stuff when really maybe some of the tension that you're dealing with is trying to change and trying to fix something that God gave you in the first place. Maybe you think you're fighting the devil, but really you're fighting God. And I promise you, if that's the case, you're going to be battling forever until you finally get okay with you. And trust me, I get it. If you've read any of my books or you've listened to me speak here or there for a while, you know I talk a lot about my natural personality as an introvert. I mean, that's what I am. I'm not the life of the party usually. But when I stepped into the call of God on my life, I really thought that my personality was the devil's design to try to hold me back from what God had for me. So I was binding and rebuking and casting out introversion, go in Jesus' name. And finally, God settled me down a little bit. And I'll talk about that, I think, a little bit more later in this message. But here's the thing. The Bible says that Christians are a peculiar people. Some of us were a little more peculiar than others. I mean, some of us, we were weird before we were Christian. We just got weirder because we got the mind and the heart and the fire of God. And now we just, the world doesn't get us. And sadly, a lot in the church world don't get us. I mean, I've probably gotten more flack actually from people in the church world. I mean, some of you know that because sometimes the world, they'll at least say, okay, something happened to them that I don't quite understand, but I get they're going to be different. But sometimes the church world's like, you're not like me. Well, I mean, I remember one time, I was 5 years into my own ministry and probably another five into ministry in general. I mean, I wasn't hiding what I was doing. I was writing my second book at that time, and I got word that this little group of Christians over here thought it was weird how Kyle talks about God so much. Well, I thought it was weird that they thought it was weird because, like I said, I was not hiding this. This is not a hobby for me, and you better hope that I talk about God a whole lot and I think about God a whole lot because otherwise, where is all of this coming from? God bless their little hearts. God have mercy on your people. And thankfully he does. I could rant and rave on that for a while, but my point here is when you said yes to Jesus, he took all of the uniqueness that he knit together in your mother's womb. He redeemed and repurposed those parts that he didn't intend for you. He sanctified your story. And then he gave you his gifts and he gave you his fruits and he gave you his qualities so that you don't have a cookie cutter identity in Christ. You have a custom made identity in Christ fit for a plan that God had long before the world began. That is the new you that the Bible talks about. And then amazingly, he takes the new you And he takes that personal plan that he has for you, and he puts you inside of something greater so that you have a personal plan inside of a larger plan, which is called the body of Christ. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10 here. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." And I want to highlight that word "we" here for just a minute. And if I can just go ahead and say this, with all of the stuff that has happened in the last year, as I travel around and I talk to people and go to different churches and stuff, I will say that all of this stuff has made a lot of people very self-centered. And this is saying we, the body of Christ. Those of us in here, we're part of a larger body, but we are God's masterpiece. We need to be together. He created us anew in Christ. So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. So right there is basically the New Testament version of what David was saying in Psalm 139. That the plan came before you were formed. As I said, a personal plan inside of a larger plan. You are a masterpiece individually inside of a larger masterpiece called the body of Christ. Now, if that makes your mind spin a little bit, I've got an illustration here for you. A friend of mine, Eric Samuel Tim, he painted, this is a picture of his painting, this is the face of Jesus. This represents the body of Christ. Now, I took this picture right here, and I turned it into a mosaic, so it should be on the screen there. You see that? That, from a distance, looks like this, the face of Jesus. But here's the thing. If you zoom in, and you can start to play the video here, if you zoom in to the face of Jesus, we got it. There you go. You'll see the face of Jesus is made up of a bunch of different faces. A bunch of different skin colors, a bunch of different features. You can bet a bunch of different stories, personality types, and styles. And it doesn't matter where you go into that face, you're going to find different people. And you have to find different people because if they all were the same, it wouldn't make the face. The body of Christ requires our differences. And this is basically what the Apostle Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 12:27 when he writes, all of you together, there it is again, together are Christ's body. And each of us are a part of it. So again, when you said yes to Jesus, all of that uniqueness that makes you you, your personal plan was put into a larger plan, was put into the body of Christ so that you have things that nobody else has in order to do something that nobody else can do. Not any one person's roles or giftings or talents or looks or whatever are better. They all fit a purpose. But here's the deception. And I think part of this is just human nature. As we start to discern the group that we're in, we start to discern what God's going to do for our life or his plan a little bit for our life, his purpose, and we then start to look around at everybody else who's part of the group. And we start to think, am I okay here? Do I fit? Because suddenly we start to notice all the ways that are different about everybody else, right? And we start to think, oh no, maybe this thing about me, maybe that counts me out from the group. And so we get all insecure and we do one of two things, right? We either try to hide the thing that's different about us because, oh no, if they know that, we're going to get the boot. Or we try to fix those things, trying to shape ourselves into this mold that doesn't actually exist. I mean, when I first came to my real personal relationship with the Lord, and definitely when I started to discern some of what God would do through my life, I started to look around. First, I started to look in Scripture, and I told you that I'm an introvert, and well, everybody in Scripture to me that was kind of a preacher looked like they were an extrovert. And so I'm thinking, well, I don't have what they have, and I'm not who they are. And Then evangelists would come to the church and they would all have all these stories of how they practically led the entire airplane to the Lord on the way to the church. And me, even to this day, I get on an airplane and somebody wants to talk to me and I'm like, would you please shut up? I look at other preachers my age and, you know, a lot of them, they've got families and they've got a dog and I'm single and I tried a dog for 2 months and that one didn't really work out for me so well. And some of them have this real hipster language, you know, they're talking about yo and bro and dude, and I don't really talk that way. As a matter of fact, I'm more of an old soul than a millennial. And for some, my theology is too charismatic, and for other, my theology is not charismatic enough. And so, gosh, the devil's just highlighting all of these things at one point, that ways that I didn't fit, even if nobody else saw it or said it, I felt it. So I'm complaining to God, God, I just don't feel like I fit into this plan that you have for me. Which is a goofy thing to say, but that's exactly how we talk, isn't it? So I tried to adjust things and change things, and there's nothing wrong with making adjustments, but half of the things I did were more awkward than anything, and I ended up just defaulting back to me. And that's when God finally said, why don't you just be you? He said, I've given you a personality, a style, and a story to reach people that others can't. Use the gift of you. And some of you need to think that for yourself. Have you realized you're a gift? You are a present. One big box of uniqueness that God made in order for you to reach people and do something that somebody else can't do. And I promise you, if you will capitalize, not on all the ways that you're the same as everybody else, but if you will capitalize on all the uniqueness that you have, that is where you will find your most success and satisfaction in life. People will ask me all the time. They'll write in. They'll say, Kyle, how do you get started in ministry? And they want the tacticals, and they want the practicals, and they want some strategic, maybe marketing plan or something. And I usually give them something right off the bat that they're not expecting. I say, hone in on what makes you unique. Because there are a lot of voices out there right now, and there is a lot of noise out there right now. I mean, we all know that, right? And if you're going to look the same and sound the same and have the same story as somebody else, you're not going to attract the attention that God wants to use. I'm not talking about being gimmicky. Just for the sake of being gimmicky. I mean, there's enough of that out there, and that is nauseating. I'm talking about embracing the parts of you that are unique, that God has created to stand out. I promise you, if you don't like the sound of your voice, it's probably going to be the sound of your voice that God uses to get people's attention. If there is an aspect of your story that might be different or that you're not real fond of it, if you will get a little bit fond of it, that's exactly what God will use to give you a ministry. That is exactly what God will use to relate to people, to connect you to people. He will use those differences in his plan to do a good work that he had designed for you before the world began. When I look at my life so far, I mean, it's the things that I thought counted me out, that made me an outsider, that God has used, maybe not in everybody's minds, but God has used to make me an insider in his plan. A lot of people today, they know me most because of the Shut Up Devil app. Well, that app came because of the insecurities of my story. And it's the aspects, some aspects of my story, that's what God used to connect people. I mean, people will say to me all the time, they'll say, especially when I talk about like the rejection and things that I faced a lot in childhood, things that weren't always, especially at the beginning, easy to talk about necessarily. But they'll say, Kyle, when you share that, that's what I relate to. That's why I started to tune into you. I am a technology geek. I still am. I am passionate about computers and gadgets. I mean, in college, they called me Inspector Gadget because I just always loved that stuff and still do. Well, that didn't make me that popular in school, but today, that's exactly what God uses for this ministry. I mean, a large portion of how this ministry impacts people is through a screen. So I'm just telling you, pay close attention to what the devil is insisting counts you out? Because I promise you, that is probably what God will use to count you into his plan. It's your differences. Now, obviously, as Christians, you know, we have to have consensus on some things. We have to have consensus on the essentials of the Word of God, the life, the death, the resurrection of Christ. I mean, that's what makes us a Christian. But beyond that, it's your differences that make the difference. Capitalize on them. Hone in on them. God wants to use them to reach people that only you can reach. Now, through the rest of this message, I'm going to share with you some ways of why you might have been designed to be different. And I'm going to show you some scriptural examples here. But when God chooses people, he sets them apart for a purpose. That's called holiness. Holy means set apart. And I know throughout the church world, some make holiness to be this process of what you have to do and cleaning yourself up to look good enough on the outside and all of that stuff, but that's not really what holiness is. Holiness is something that God does. He sets you apart for himself. So when he chose Israel, the nation of Israel, he set them apart to look different from the rest of the world. He set them apart to stand out. He made them holy unto himself. Why? So that when the other nations looked at them, they would see Israel, and through Israel, they would see him. They would see his provision. They would see his protection. They would see his affection. And so the other nations would see all that and say, there is a God in Israel. Well, how much more is that for we New Testament believers? God wants people to look at your life. And he wants people to see him. He wants people to see his face. He wants people to see his goodness and his kindness that leads people to repentance. I think of Matthew. You know Matthew, the Apostle Matthew, one of the 12? Well, you know where he was whenever Jesus said, hey, come follow me? He was in his tax collector booth. Matthew was a tax collector, despised and hated. I mean, we're not real fond of tax collectors today because we don't like to give our money away, but hopefully today they do it a little more justly, maybe. But back then they weren't just at all about it. I mean, the Jewish people hated tax collectors because they saw them as traitors, people who sold themselves out to the government in order to steal money. Well, Matthew was being a tax collector in his tax collector booth when Jesus says, hey, come follow me. And I'm sure he looked around and said, who, me? I do not fit the mold of some religious person. And I'm not saying that God made Matthew a tax collector, but I'm just saying that this is a pretty good example of how God will take even those parts of your story that he didn't mean and use them in an unthinkable way to make them a part of his plan that he had all along. And part of God's plan for Matthew, I think, was for him to be able to relate to other people like him. And that's exactly what happened. After Matthew followed Jesus, the Bible says that they went and had a party at Matthew's house where many other tax collectors and sinners came to know the goodness of Jesus because of him. Well, I think that's what God wants to do through some of your stories. He wants to use your stories to relate to other people like you or other people who are where you used to be. I'm telling you, introverts relate with other introverts. Parents, you relate with other parents. If you've been divorced, you relate with other people who are divorced. I mean, choose your situation, and what you've been through is a good indicator of the people you're called to. What you've been through is a good indicator of the people you're called to. But I think of the Apostle Paul, another great example. I mean, he was a persecutor of Christians, a Pharisee turned Christian in a real dramatic way. I mean, he had an over-the-top zeal back when he was a persecutor, and guess what? That didn't go away just whenever he was a Christian. He had a personality that rubbed people the wrong way. You read throughout the New Testament, and Paul and Peter and the other apostles, they did not all get along. I think sometimes we think that the early church just had everything all smoothed out, and they didn't. I mean, they kind of said, Paul, you go do your own thing. We'll do our own thing. Maybe God didn't give Paul everything of his personality, but I think a good base of it was. Because in order to do what Paul needed to do, which was establish the church, especially for the Gentiles, he couldn't just have a passive go with the flow kind of personality. He kind of needed to have a personality that was in your face and that was going to bulldoze through some things and be a little controversial or confrontational rather. So what Paul probably hated about himself in certain ways, definitely what other people hated about himself, that's exactly what God used. I mean, a good portion of why the Jewish people even rejected him had to do with his personality, so he was forced to get sent out to the Gentiles, which is what God had planned all along. And some of you, you were just designed just to shock a bunch of people, I think. Because, you know, religious people, they can kind of think that they've got God figured out. And they can think that they just know who God's going to choose and who God's going to love and who God's going to use and who's in and who's out. Well, some of you, I think you were designed just to prove a bunch of those people wrong. You know Timothy's story? Timothy was Paul's protege. I love his story. His is one of my favorite stories. I write about it quite a bit in this next book that's coming out. But Timothy was a no-no. Did you know that? He helped establish the church. He oversaw the church. Tradition says he became a bishop. But yet Timothy was a no-no. He was the product of a no-no, which in that culture made him a no-no. You see, his mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. And the two of them coming together was not okay according to the law. So they called Timothy a half-breed. He was wrong according to their religious system and culture back then. So he couldn't do a lot of things. He couldn't be educated with other Jewish boys. He couldn't marry a Jewish woman. He couldn't celebrate the Jewish festivals. It wasn't fair. It wasn't something that he chose for himself, but it's just the way it is in this fallen world. A lot of things are that way. The religious culture may not have wanted him, may not have chosen him, but God did. And most of us, or all of us rather, are here in the body of Christ because of Timothy. Well, why would God do that? Why would God not select some more respected Jewish family man that would have fit the church growth business plan a little bit better, would have guaranteed a little more success? Because I think God needed to shake the legalism off some people back then. Because at that time especially, and I guess it hasn't really changed a whole lot today, but they were still arguing over food laws and over circumcision laws and over whether Gentile converts needed to follow Jewish law. And so God designs and raises up this person that just went in and broke all of their traditions to bring some progress into the church. And I am 100% and then some convinced that some of you were molded just to break a mold, just to show and shock and surprise a whole bunch of people into seeing how God uses people, how God loves people, how God chooses people that people never think he would. Why? Because he's good. Did you hear me, church? God wants to use your life, your differences, your uniqueness to show the world that he is good. And we could go through all kinds of more examples. We could talk about the prophet Jeremiah. We could talk about John the Baptist. We could go on and on, just about every one of your favorite Bible heroes that made any impact at all, made the impact through their differences. And God wants to use the same for you. Through your life, God has put you into the body of Christ. He has put you right in here as part of this body, which is part of a larger body, a worldwide body of Christ. This group right here, it needs you. And it doesn't need to pretend you. It needs the real you. It needs the real you with your real personality, your real style, your real story, so that the people outside of these walls, so that the people in Chester and the people in Sparta and Steelville and Perryville, the people in the state of Illinois will look at you and say, there is a God in Illinois. There is a God in Chester. God wants people to see you and to say, well, if God can put up with them, if God can love them, if God can forgive them, if God can use them, then I guess he can love and forgive and choose and put up with me too. That's the plan that God had long before the world ever began. Again, it's your differences that make the difference. Now, when I was preparing for this message, God gave me a word. It's really kind of a simple poem, actually. For those of you in here who will receive this, I think it'll really be maybe freeing for a lot of you. I think all of you will get something out of this, but just listen to this and receive this for yourself. God says to the one who struggled all your life to find where you belong, who's tried to make sense of your differences only to feel rejected and wrong, may you know the affection of your Creator and take in my thoughts for you. To you, I say, my child, you are no mistake nor the product of some random chance, but you are the outcome of my choosing, the result of my steady hand. When people mistake you or forsake you, know that I never will. I'll remain before you and behind you, always with you and beside you. Now go, be bold, and be brave, for I have brought you into this world to help bring a brighter day. Come on, Grace Church, do you receive that for yourself this morning? Give God praise. That's good news for you. You were designed to be different. And Father, I just pray right now. Lord, would you give people a confidence and courage in who you've designed them to be? Help them to use those aspects of themselves that maybe they've been insecure about, Father. Help them to see your plan through it. And God, would you bring them people, divine opportunities with other people that are like them, with other people who are where they were, Lord. Help them to celebrate their uniqueness as a gift. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, now, as I said in the message, I don't want to leave here without giving an opportunity for somebody to say yes to Jesus. If you all would bow your heads for just a moment. I just want to check if there's anybody in here, anybody, who's never done that before, who's never believed, Jesus, I believe you are God's son. I believe that you died and resurrected to forgive me of my sins. God's pursued you into this place this morning, not by accident. You might be sitting on all kinds of shame, all kinds of regrets, whatever. God's not surprised. He had a plan for you to be here, for you to say yes to Jesus, to walk out knowing that that's all been dealt with, that's all cleansed, forever forgiven. You can walk out here knowing that you have been made brand new. If there's anybody in here that's never done that before and you say, I want that, would you just raise your hand? Just want to check. Anybody in here? I see your hand. I see your hand. Anybody in here? Anybody else? Don't miss this opportunity. Yes, Jesus, I believe that you did what you said you did. You died and resurrected to make me new. Anybody want that? Yes, Father. You see their hands as well. Let's all pray together. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you're saved. It's that simple. Don't let the devil complicate it and make you believe that you got to do all of this stuff. Jesus came because you couldn't do enough. You just got to believe, receive. So let's pray a prayer right now to tell that to God. Just say, Father, I believe Jesus is your son. I believe he died and resurrected to forgive me of my sin, to make me new, to make me right with you. Credit his work to my life now. I thank you that as I believe, I am saved. I am born again. Heaven is my home. Now fill me with your spirit and help me live every day to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's give God praise. It is the joy of my life to be able to welcome you to the family of God. You're part of a family right here that's part of a larger family. And this body of Christ right here wants to walk with you, wants to love you through whatever comes your way, wants to do this Christian journey with you. So please, let them know. Pastor, is there a prayer team here at the end that somebody can let them know? Some of you, you might even say yes to Jesus on your pillow tonight. That's okay too. But my encouragement is let somebody know. Don't do this alone. We together are God's masterpiece. He's got a plan for all of us together, and you are part of it. Let's all make a declaration now. Just say, God loves me. God chose me. God has a unique plan for me, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you so much, Grace. It has been good to be back with you. Just a couple things so that I can share with you how I can help you beyond this message. Just last year, we produced this journal here. This is called Think on These Things, 30 Days of Power Thoughts to Boost Your Confidence and Courage. A big part of my story is just really how I came to align my mind with God's word to overcome insecurity and fear and have more confidence and courage to be able to do this. And so God showed me a process, a mind-renewing process, really using science and scripture to reprogram your mind with his truths. I call them the 4 R's of mind renewal. I go through those in the first chapter, I teach about it, and then for 30 days, every day, I've selected a scripture about who you are, how God sees you, positive things, so you can focus in on that, and I take you through those 4 R's of mind renewal. Just a little 5-minute thing that you can do every day, so that in 30 days, your mind actually gets reprogrammed with God's truths to start to have more confidence and courage. So I've got a bunch of these out there on the table. They're only $13. I also created in the last year an e-course for those of you who really like to go in deep with things. If you struggle with the fear of rejection or dealing with the wounds of rejection, I take you on a journey, 8 lessons with digital workbooks that you can do anytime at your own pace, forever, come in as you'd like. And it's called Rejecting Rejection. So this is an access card. You go onto the website, you put in your unique code, register your account, and then you're in, like I said, forever. And this really will help you stop the fear and heal the hurt if that's something you deal with. And just as an exclusive thing, today we will include that journal. This is $39, but we'll include the journal with it for free. These t-shirts here that I'm wearing, my identity is in Christ. We got every size out there available too. But regardless, I'd just love to say hi to you. Love to meet you if I haven't yet. And thank you so much, Grace Church. It's good to be back home. And I appreciate all your support and all your friendly faces in the flesh. God bless you all. Thank you.
Oh, whole lot in that one. Awesome.